We live in unusual days with the daily news of shootings and scandals and bigotry and conflict and the opioid epidemic and even what's going on with Bill C-9. We, as a nation, desperately need God. One writer said, we need healing in our nation. And I would agree with that. Cheryl and I went to see a movie called The Jesus Revolution. If you haven't seen it, you need to go see it. It's the story of the revival that came to a group of young people who were disillusioned with their own personal dissatisfaction, looking for something more. Now, this story is no different than today's events. The revival is coming to North America again, and I believe it will come with the youth. That's where it starts. But we don't have to be a youth to know the need for healing as a nation and as a world. We need healing in our schools, in our government, in our cities, in our neighborhoods, but also in our families, in our marriages, in our hearts, in our minds, and our bodies. And this was what propelled me to think about doing a series on the Ten Commandments, just for us as families to have healthy families. So we're in part six today of how to pray for healing and restoration. And we need more than just physical healing. We need emotional healing, spiritual healing. For those of us who were at the men's breakfast yesterday, we heard about how this is so important for us, even as men and also as women, to have this kind of healing in our lives. 3,000 years ago, God made a promise to Solomon as he dedicated the temple, but it applies to God's people even today. In your notes, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Circle these three words that are in that passage of Scripture. Hear, I will hear from you, I will hear you, I will forgive you, and I will heal your land. Those three words, hear, forgive, and heal. Now, it's not a promise for everyone, because it says, if my people. Well, who are they? Well, look at what Jesus said as he was described in Matthew chapter 12. When Jesus was teaching the crowd, his mother and brothers waited nearby to speak to him, and someone told him that your family wants to talk to you. But Jesus asked, who is my family? That must have been a very strange question to ask when his family was standing right there. Then pointing to his followers, he said, these people are my family. Anybody who obeys my Father in heaven and does his will is my brother and my sister and my mother. These are my people. Have you given your life to God's Son as God has commanded? Are you part of his people or my people? Secondly, it's for those who are called by my name. Are you embarrassed to identify as a disciple? Because there's no secret agent Christians in this world. Everybody else is bold today. My goodness. Everybody and their dog is bold today to push on to us whatever they think is truth. Why are we not being courageous?
Amen.
Mark chapter 8, verse 37 said, Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, I think this still applies to us. The Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. You see, whose approval matters the most to you? See, the third thing is this is a premise, but there's a promise. The premise comes with the promise. There are four conditions for healing and restoration that I want to talk about this morning. In your body, in your mind, in your emotions, in your relationships, in your finances, every aspect of your life. So here are the four conditions. Ready to go? Turn to your neighbor and say, are you ready? Turn back and say, sure am, are you? Here we go. Number one, admit that I'm not in control. We can just stop the sermon right here. The first condition is, if my people, now listen, will humble themselves. Humility is the first step to healing. I don't approach God arrogantly. I don't approach him proudly. I don't approach him flippantly. I don't approach him disrespectfully. And I don't make demands in my prayer. God is not my genie that I just rub the Bible the right way, I'll get what I want. The Bible never says to pray for humility. Just humble yourself. You see, humility is a choice. You just do it to yourself. So what is humility and how can I develop and show it? You got a piece of paper that came with your sermon outline this morning. It was the 12 ways to show real humility daily. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them. But you might want to put this in your Bible or put this in your journal as you're going through and working through our 40 days. What's one way? Routinely confess your sin to God. How can I do it if I can't even say it? But confess your sins to God. One of the things about Good Friday that Celeste was saying, yes, it's a little bit darker, but it also should impact us even as we're coming to communion. That's because of our sin that that had to happen. We have a holy God. He wanted to have a relationship with us. And because we are a sinful people, he had to provide for our sinfulness. And he did that in the person of Jesus. Take wrong patiently. Number five, accept criticism and correction graciously. Number eight, be respectful to the authorities in your life, even the bad ones. Okay, number nine's in there just to make sure you read it. Pick up the trash wherever you find it. Leave a public restroom cleaner. It drives me nuts going into a bathroom and there's paper towel on the floor. Did they not see it? You'll see me do that here. There's paper, I will pick it up. Why? Because it's important. Cultivate a grateful heart. Treat pride, number 12, as a condition that always necessitates this you get it, embracing the cross. Aren't you glad I'm only going to be here till August? Anyway, several things you're going to remember about him. He's deaf as a doorknob, and he can't talk. All right, humility is a big deal to God. He loves it as much as he hates ego. So how does God respond to a humble heart? Hang on, let's go. Number one, if I'm humble, God will guide me. Psalm 25, verse 9, God leads the humble in the right way and teaches them his will. If I'm humble, God will bless me. Isaiah 66, 2, I will bless those who have humble and contrite hearts. If I'm humble, God will give me the power to change. No, pardon me, God will bless me. Sorry. He will give you the power to change. James chapter 4, verse 6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Lastly, if I'm humble, God will relieve your stress. Matthew 11, 29, Jesus said, take the yoke I give you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble and will restore deep rest to your soul. Let me ask you a question this morning. How's your soul? Is it at rest? Do you wake up in the middle of the night because your soul's not at peace? Four conditions for healing and restoration. Number one, admit that I'm not in control. Secondly, ask God for help. What does it say? If my people will what? Pray. You aren't waiting on God. God is waiting on you to pray. For many, praying for healing is scary. So how do we do it? Here's five tips on how to pray for healing. Because you need to have some confidence with this. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy will be the fullest possible joy. In the New Testament, it says 20 times to ask for God's help. And he gives us, in this, the first two tips. Number one, remember that God wants you to ask. It's his idea. Why does he want you to ask for stuff? It's how you learn to trust him. No prayer equals no trust. Like a child, I mean, they need something, they cry. The parent hears it. The parent responds, fills it, gains trust. The second thing is ask in Jesus' name on the basis of what he has paid for. I don't get everything I pray for. Some people object. Well, I don't get everything I pray for. What's up? Well, look closely. It doesn't say you get everything. It says you can ask for anything. Go ahead and ask. You need a new job, a better job. You need a miracle, ask. God will sort out what fits into his plan. And the next verse gives us two more tips in James chapter 5, verses 13 and 15 to 15. Is anyone of you in trouble? He should pray. There it is again. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? You should call the elders of the church and pray over him and anoint with them oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the person well. The Lord will raise him up. And if he sinned, he will be forgiven. Now, you've heard these verses many times here in this Alliance Church, because that's one of our mandates from Jesus on what and how we ought to be praying for one another. But another way for you to see this is you need to get other people to pray for you. It doesn't have to be the elders. You can call the elders. That's biblical. But you could call another brother or sister in Christ. You see, there's no healing power in the oil. It's a beautiful symbol of the Holy Spirit. It can just be with one other person. If two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, I'm there in your midst. Matthew 18, 19 says, Jesus, I tell you that if just two of you on earth agree together about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. One of the beautiful things that's happened during these 40 days of prayer is how much we've been praying with others at our tables, in our circle groups, one-on-one even. Being humble means confessing our needs to one another so that we can pray for one another. The fourth thing is to believe and expect an answer, the prayer offered in faith. Do you expect God to answer your prayers? Do you not have the faith of a mustard seed to believe God will answer? Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, one of my other favorite verses. Pray in the Spirit at all times, with all kinds of prayers, asking for all that you need to do. This you must always be ready and never give up. Always pray for all God's people. Circle these two words as many times as you see it. The word all and the word always. You will see all is used four times and always is used twice. I think he's trying to make a point. That's tenacity. And number five, keep on praying until God tells you to stop. Until you're released from praying it. When you sense that God is removing the burden to pray, then stop, but not before. So let me encourage you to take those 5 points and put them in your Bible next to your prayer list and remind yourself that if you're praying for a significant breakthrough in your life or in the life of another, those are five things that you can do. So admit, first of all, that I'm not in control. Secondly, ask God for help. And thirdly, seek God, not the miracle. This is so important. Let's go back to our verse from 2 Chronicles. If my people will seek my face, seek him, not just the blessing. Lord, I want this thing, I want this to happen. Lord, whether this thing is healed or not, you're not a vending machine. I want to know you more coming out of my pain. Had a conversation with a pastor this week, another district. His wife just left him. He's devastated. I said, here are some things that you need to look at. You need to get close to God. Regardless of what the outcome is, you need to be healthy. You need to be close to God in the midst of all of this. But are we seeking God? Proverbs 8, verse 17, I love those who love me. Those who seek me, find me. That's a beautiful promise here. Is that if we seek the face of God, he's going to let us find him. We're going to meet with him. Listen to the words of A.B. Simpson's, our founder's hymn called All for Jesus. And he was so sick. And one of the reasons why we have such a, if you look at our little symbol over here, the labor, the healing, he experienced healing in his own life. And this is what he said after he experienced this. He wrote this down. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gift I wanted, now the giver own. It's only him. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. All in all forever, only Christ I'll sing. Everything is in Christ, and Christ is in everything. Do we want just the healing? Or do we want a relationship with the healer? Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, God rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's not a casual pastime. That's not in your spare moments. That's not a low priority. It's a serious pursuit. It's my primary focus. We heard about this last Monday night in our session where we're meeting together, going through the 40 days, or in your circle group, you heard about that. We have to have passion. There needs to be intense conviction. See, you don't become an Olympic athlete in your spare time. How many of you play golf? I mean, not today because it's snow out. We don't really play golf. We play at golf. Because we're not willing to invest the time. I'd love to learn how to draw a tee shot. I just don't care enough to be at the driving range that much. To be a pro at anything requires intensity. So what does God want from me more than anything else? Write this down. To seek him. To seek him. See, here's the truth. Very few people are really serious about knowing God. Recent revivals that we've heard about in the last few years are demonstrations of how earnestly we need to seek the Lord. I've shared this before, but I love the point of it. $3 worth of God. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or to disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love another ethnic group or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of a womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. We just want enough of them. But he wants more than just enough. He wants us to seek him. We've just started in our daily reading going through the book of Deuteronomy. I just love Deuteronomy. We just started at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 29 to 31 says this: if you seek the Lord your God, just listen to this, you will find him. If you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul, and when you're in distress and all these things have happened to you, you will return to the Lord your God and obey him, for he is a merciful God, and he will not abandon or destroy you. If you're stuck in a cycle, year after year, and you're not making any headway spiritually, it's because you're not serious about seeking God. God goes overboard for those who put him first. Look at what it says in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Try using the format I gave you last week of how to pray through a day. Just try it. Put it into practice. See what happens. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. You can relax about the other stuff. You okay? Got time for one more? All right. Admit I'm not in control. Ask God for help. Seek God, not the miracle. Number four, turn my attention from the world to the Word. What does that mean? Well, look at what it says in that passage. If my people will turn from their wicked ways. We need to define two terms here. The first one is wickedness. What do you think of when I say the word wickedness? Evil stuff that really bad people do to others? Assassinations and torture and rape and murder and extortion and sexual abuse? Well, here's the definition of wickedness. It's forgetting God. When we forget God, that's when bad stuff happens, friends. Isaiah 17, verse 10 says, you have forgotten the God who saves you, and you have not remembered that God is your place of safety. What has been your place of safety? Money? A boyfriend? Girlfriend? Parents? A job? Bank account? Is that what your safety is? The second thing we need to do is we need to understand the word turn. In Hebrew, it literally means to return, bring back, to repent. Not just turn away from your wicked things, but turn to God. In the Greek, it's metanoia, to change your mind. It's a paradigm shift. And when you turn, you can, and when you change about your life and success, no matter what happens, past, present, or future, it's not a negative term, it's a positive one. You turn from darkness to light. You turn from hate to love. You turn from bondage to freedom. You turn from fear to faith. Acts chapter 13, verse 19 says, "Repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Proverbs 28, 13 says, "If you hide your sins, you will not succeed, but if you confess and reject them, you will receive mercy." Let me ask you a question this morning. Our time is running out. What are you pretending is not a problem in your life? You know it is, but you're just denying it. You're pretending it doesn't exist. Cover-ups make things worse, friends. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Circle the word "each other," words "each other." I need others to help me change. You see, the first step to any kind of healing or recovery is humble confession. Go back to our verse. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." There's a threefold promise here that I don't have time to really unpack. Three things. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sins. And I will heal your land. If we will humble ourselves and pray. Will you pray with me? Folks, this isn't rocket science. It's pretty easy to understand. God just lays it all out. It's just the real issue is, will you get it? Will you take these steps right now in your mind and in your heart? Would you start, "If my people will humble themselves"? Will you say, "God, I want to admit that I'm not in control. I've acted like it, but I'm not. I've tried to run the shots and call the shots, and it just isn't working very well. And the harder I try to control things, the more out of control everything gets. So today I humble myself. And I'm asking you to guide me and bless me and give me the power to change and relieve my stress and all those things that I have come, that come with that if I walk humbly before you." And that the list of actions doesn't look easy to do. So God, I'm asking you to give me help to be quiet in the face of criticism, to pray for my enemies, to immediately confess my sin to you and all the other things that are they. And you say, "Lord, if my people will pray," I'm asking for help. Thank you for thinking of the idea of prayer. Thank you that I don't have to worry about what is a good prayer or not. You just say, "Ask anything, and you'll sort it out." I thank you that you didn't put me down here. You don't put me down for saying stupid prayers. You just want me to talk to you. And so teach me to pray all the time with all kinds of prayer, asking all that I need, to always be ready, to always pray for all of God's people, to be tenacious. And Lord, I want to seek you. If my people will seek my face, forgive me for the times I have not sought your face. I've just sought your blessing. You've said those who seek you will find you, and I want to find you. And in this next season, I want to be closer to you than I've ever been before. So help me to turn my attention away from the world to your word. And as I do these things, I ask that you will hear my prayer from heaven, that you will forgive my sins. And I ask that you will heal me, my heart, my body, my mind, my relationships, my fears, my bad habits, my bad attitudes, my bitterness. Heal my anger. Heal my impatience. I want to be like you, Lord. I want to love like you. You're humble. And I humbly ask this because Jesus already paid for it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.